It's news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Rob Center doing a fabulous job all week, so we very much appreciate his help and hard work every single day, and even through the weekend he'll be cognizant of what we're doing, so we appreciate all that help as well. On the news line with us now, Trooper Andrea Pelicek. She is a community service officer with Troop F Milton of the state police, and is one of the individuals that helps do the outreach, does public information, helps make sure the public knows information, does safety programs. She's all over the place making sure that folks get an opportunity to learn from state police, not just get involved in maybe an enforcement or some other maybe infractive behavior, whatever it happens to be. Andrea, thank you so much for calling in today.
Yes, Mark, thanks for having me.
We are looking at National Child Safety and Prevention Month this month, having been prompted to do so by the Snyder County District Attorney Mike Piazza. So we appreciate that. The Union Snyder Child Safety Coalition's public education campaign is underway, and you help serve that group. Let's talk about a couple of things today that are on the agenda. Fire safety as it relates to children is one of them. So what do we know about fire safety, and what are some things that maybe parents might not think of when it comes to fire safety and children?
So for fire safety, the number one thing for parents or guardians to think about is to make sure you have a plan. So if there is a fire in the house, teach the kids to go to the neighbors, teach them to call 911. One thing that's important, especially for the youngsters, is to teach them the address so they know where to send help for. Also, have a fire extinguisher in the house. Make sure the children know where it is. If you have family or a babysitter there, show them where that is and show them what your safety plan is. Also, teach kids to stay away from stoves, candles, fireplaces, lighters, and everything like that that could start a fire.
Every so often you hear about a child who's playing with a lighter, so I guess I would always think of maybe smoking materials, but really, lighters exist in our homes for candles and other things. Do you talk about that somewhat to these, not smoking materials, but lighters and that kind of thing?
Yes, just make sure they're in a safe place out of reach of children, and then for the older children, just have that conversation with them to teach them that this is not a toy.
All right, yeah, and stop flicking your lighter for fun in front of kids, I guess.
Yes.
Would be, I'll stop that ASAP. Okay, and anything else as it relates to children? I think this idea of coming up with a survival plan in case of a fire is noteworthy. Of course, we talk about smoke detectors from time to time and did a little bit with the time change. Anything else on fire safety as it relates to kids?
Nope, and like you said, just make sure your smoke detector's battery is good and keep track of that.
Now, you folks that are in the safety community are talking about safe sleeping. That sounds like a summary of maybe some kind of scattered around advice from years ago. So what is safe sleeping practices?
So this is huge, especially for the newborns and babies who are very dependent on adults and can't move around as well. So children should only be sleeping, especially the newborn, should be only sleeping in a crib or a bassinet that are placed away from a window to prevent curtains or blind cords accessible to the child. Babies should only ever sleep on their backs. When they're on their side or their stomach, because they're unable to roll over, it creates a high risk of suffocation for the child. And another huge thing, I know a lot of, especially new parents, like to put pillows, blankets, and toys in the crib, but babies do not need that. Make sure the heat's on or the air's on. They don't need the extra materials in the crib because, again, that they could get their face too close to it and, again, cause another high risk of suffocation. Make sure the crib is all put together correctly. Even a missing screw can make the bed rail shift, and then the baby could potentially get stuck between the mattress and the side rail. The rule of thumb is if you can fit more than two fingers between the mattress and the side of the crib, the crib is unsafe because the baby has potential to be able to squeeze between that space. Again, it is also very smart to use a monitor. I know most parents do, but it's important to make sure the monitor, the cord of the monitor is out of the child's reach. And another huge thing is once the baby is able to kind of push up on their hands and knees, lower the mattress. That way they can't climb and fall out of the mattress.
All right. And what about sleeping with parents or siblings? Is that something that you guys can kind of get involved in talking a little bit about?
Yes, I definitely don't encourage co-sleeping just because it creates such a safety hazard of when you're sleeping, you don't have control of your body. You could roll over and then end up either rolling on top of the baby or creating the baby not to be able to get enough oxygen. And it's a very sad, sad thing to do. And you don't want to have that on you also just because you wanted to sleep with your baby for a day. The only place a baby should sleep is in a crib or a bassinet.
Okay, and what about if your child falls asleep in the stroller, you should try to move them when you get home?
Well, if they're in the stroller, again, they're on their back or sitting up. If they're sleeping, a lot of people, when their child sleeps, it keeps them sleeping. But just make sure their face is not covered by any means.
Come on,
that's
called
number one thing.
It's called respite time for parents. Let's call it what it is. So okay,
yes.
All right, super. All right, so let's see. Also, of course, we have to talk about child trafficking. Thanks to Transitions of PA, we've had this conversation a few times, and in fact, we'll talk about it a little bit more next week when we have Heather Schneider on from Transitions. But give us a glimpse of the trafficking conversation that we should have right now.
So this topic is usually for, people think it's for the older teenagers, but it can definitely go down to some of the younger kids. And from my research and my experience, I've seen that social media is often the root of these types of incidents. Children can build relationships with complete strangers online. A lot of times these strangers can convince a child to send them inappropriate photos and videos. And they can also persuade them to meet them in person. They're often told their relationship with this person is a secret and they can't tell anybody. Parents and guardians should just very closely monitor social media and any electronic devices. They can set up restrictions to once it hits 9 o'clock, they don't have access to social media anymore. But my number one suggestion is to keep an open communication with the children. If they feel that it's safe to talk to you as a parent or a guardian, if something like this comes into their life, they'll feel more open and compelled to tell you about it. And that's the number one thing.
Well, the one thing we've talked about a number of times is we think trafficking isn't happening, but it is. Kids are getting lured out of our area here. Trafficked kids are moving through our region. It's real. It's happening. And you're here to tell us that we should all stay hypervigilant to make sure that doesn't happen to us, so we should watch out for it.
Yes, absolutely. You think it's not going to happen here, but it is, unfortunately, and just have that open communication with the children and also just be hyper aware, like you said. If something seems off or just looks off from what you can tell, have that conversation or see if you can talk to somebody else that the child might be more open to.
All right, where can I get more information on all of these good topics? Is there a single clearinghouse or maybe just to Google each of them and when you're ready to address these topics?
Definitely, there's resources all over. You can go to, if you need, I know CYS is a good resource. Of course, online is a good resource. And definitely have people can call me here at the station, and I can definitely do some research for specific information that they might need, and I can put it out to them.
Okay, and you say CYS, meaning Children and Youth Services, in your town?
Yes, correct.
Okay, perfect. All right. We got to get the lingo clear to everybody who might not.
Yes, I apologize.
Well, I've covered all this stuff enough. I recognize it. All right. Well, Trooper, thank you so much. Is there a phone number you wish to leave us with for folks who do wish to contact you?
Yes, the station number is 570-524-2662. And they can ask for Trooper Palachik.
Palachik. Okay, well, which means I said your name wrong first time.
That's
also,
all right.
So sorry about that, Palachik. All right, Trooper Andrea Palachik, thank you so much for checking in today. Very glad to hear from you. You got an open mic anytime for any and all of these topics, and we'll certainly be working together in the future. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Mark.
You bet. That is Trooper Andrea Palachik, as she said, community service officer with Troop F based at Milton, and she's with the state police and helping us talk about National Child Safety and Prevention Month and the Union Snyder Child Safety Coalition public education campaign, which is underway. We talked to Mike Pietsu, the Snyder County DA, last week. Next week, we will talk to Heather Snyder from Transitions of PA as we dig deeper into the exploitation, prostitution, trafficking topic. There's just some real basic things that folks can watch out for, and it is happening in our midst. So we'll have that conversation next week on WDKOK.